Welcome to Bull Droppings. I'm Josh McSwain, here with my co-host AJ Torres. Today for you, we got our depth chart projections for defensive backs, notes from preseason game one victory over Green Bay, and we're going to talk about this new rule that has everyone around the NFL up in arms.
The pain.
Yes, it will cause much pain over the course of this season, that much we can be sure of. But let's get right into it with these. One of the guys who was going to be a contender for a spot in the secondary has been shipped out as Keon Crossan was sent to the Giants this Tuesday.
Oh boy.
So he will make way for someone else, presumably, to take his spot. Crossan saw quite a bit of action. And honestly, the secondary is the strongest part of this defense, though. If you listen to last week's show, you would realize, for me, that's not saying a whole lot. But let's look at the secondary and what we got here. The corners, I actually think there's something to write home about here. You got Bradley Roby as your starting right cornerback. He was a free agent acquisition from Denver a few years ago. He was on the team that won Super Bowl 50. And he also made that crucial interception of Tom Brady in the AFC Championship game that helped the Broncos hold on and secure a place in that Super Bowl. But speaking of Justin Reed, he's also the starting free safety, and they're arguably two of the best starters on this defense. You could argue Zach Cunningham in there.
I agree.
But then moving on, you've got Eric Murray at strong safety, who's been the butt of a lot of jokes, and Lonnie Johnson. I like the depth that the Texans have at corner. We got some solid players up there. Safeties are still, you know, a little shaky. What do you think of the depth in the secondary?
I like that we got depth. I mean, of course, depending on we got one guy with one game suspension. That's nothing. Justin Reed and Robbie stick out to me. Then there's a couple of rotation guys. We'll see what A.J. Moore can do. John Reed, he's still young. We got Shaheem Carter, also still young. Lonnie Johnson, we'll see what he can do. And it's going to be very screwy because a lot of guys have changed their jersey numbers. But one guy I'm actually very interested in seeing, I've been saying it all offseason, Desmond King II.
Mm-hmm.
A deal to come here, could have gone anywhere he wanted to. For the money that he got paid, he could have literally gone to every single team. He could have gone to New England. He could have went to Kansas City. He could have went to the other rivalry Los Angeles team with the amount of money that he's being paid. It's absolutely crazy that he's just here. And I think that's what you're right on the defense. The pass rush, not great. Linebackers, still nobody scares you. But the defensive backs, if you're going to be trying to throw long passes, it's not going to be easy. You're not going to get pressure. You're going to get time. But trying to make sure that the receiver is open, I think that's going to be a bit of a challenge. And that's where the Texans got a little fight.
I would agree. I was just thinking about your point of ex-Patriots joining A.J. Moore and Terrence Brooks, both former New England guys. Should we call them Casario's imports? I have no idea. I actually don't know that Casario had anything to do with it, but
It just seems kind of funny, though. It's like Patriot tie.
Yep.
It's actually funny because I actually opened up to a letter to The Athletic, and based by depth chart, I think we've basically been through everything by now, outside the quarterback position for obvious reasons. So
yes.
There was a couple of things going on in that article. It was posted yesterday. It's actually nice that we're recording this midweek because it's always a Tuesday or a Wednesday that something interesting happens, and we gotta wait until next week. Have you noticed that?
Right, yes.
It's like Monday night. Hey, Tex, how you doing? Tuesday. Oh, Maron, Tex, what's happening? It just always seems to be the case. It doesn't matter if it's Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun, something crazy, only on Tuesdays. It's Wednesday night. We're recording this. That's just great. But a couple of notes. One, do you think Philip Lindsay is running back one?
At this point, I think he's making a decent case for it.
I think that's a yes, and you know me. I think he came in there with – I don't think he was appreciated as last year in Denver, and he came here. And I just think he's got a little chip on his shoulder. This is a prove-it year. I think he's got to. I think he's run back one, and I think deserves so. Not saying that the guys in the backfield or scrubs by any means is a good amount of depth there. But Philip Lindsay, running back one, I'll take it. And the other ones they wanted to say, there was a lot of rumors about Cook's deal. Right before the deal got structured, what happens is that money turns into sign-off bonus money, and it's going to be on the cap for the next 4 years. This is why I've talked about why the NFL needs a cap that just goes like baseball. Hey, do it for the year and have luxury tax. Because if you're the Saints, you know that, come on, look at last year's situation into this year. It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous in the way they play around with it. It drives me crazy. It sickens me. But before they restructured the deal, they thought that he was being shipped out because of all the wide receiver depth. He wouldn't cost much, but here's the one that gets real. Laremy Tunsil, after this year, is a free agent.
Yep.
So, there is a rumor saying that he could be a deadline trade or trade sometime this year for a 1-3. And a lot of people would say, why would you do such a thing? Well, Bob's no longer here, and that's not Caserio's problem. This is a rebuilding team. We have no idea if the starting quarterback, who is a top five, is going to play this year. We have just about a month before the season starts to get real, and we don't know if one of the top five quarterbacks in the NFL is going to be on the commissioner's exempt list because the FBI is researching this investigation. Now, us as journalists and us as podcasters, we try to be professional as much as possible while still being laid back. We're just letting the chips fall where they fall, and we are not reporting anything just because we're respecting every party, every individual, and just want this thing to be shut before we comment. And I think we've done a very good job with that. But I'm seeing the regime right here, and I think if you get Laremy Tunsil for any time of the year for a first and change, it doesn't have to be a third, it can even be a fourth or a fifth, I think you have to take it because this team hasn't had a first round pick in a while.
That is true. And if you want to look at the depth chart right now, looks like Charlie Heck would take over. I think he would be good enough not to get the quarterback killed. But yeah, this would definitely be a move signaling we're moving on.
I think you have to. I mean, the writing's on the wall. You just have to.
And again,
there's a lot of circumstances where I really just don't like it where I hear, oh, well, that's not this guy's problem. I like it in the fact where it kind of goes like when a new head coach comes in, there's a quarterback that was drafted 2 years ago. And even though he's got potential, a guy's going to go, whoa, 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 come on, man. If I got to try to be the next Bill Belichick, I want my guy, the one that I like. Usually I hate that because it keeps the organization in a hole for sometimes it can be almost a decade. If you looked at the 2000s where the Patriots were dominating, some guys couldn't get their heads out of their ass. But this is
Right.
one I like where it's like, oh, I'm playing him till I'm milking out the contract because I paid him for it. Well, that's your ass, okay? Dunsil, if he could give you a first round pick, this team needs to rebuild. And if he's not coming back because it could be a cap issue, it could be a chemistry issue, or it could be just, you know what? I paid my dues and I don't want to be here anymore. And Laremy Tunsil could earn the right just being like, listen, I don't want to be here anymore. There's some guys that want to be here and some guys that don't. I feel like some guys chased money. You can't lie about that. Some guys, I mean, if you look at Desmond King, if you look at Philip Lindsay, two guys that I think are great talents, but they're both prove it deals. And
Yes,
thank
they are.
goodness because this is going to save this team. But everybody else for a free agency destination, you're not looking forward to this. Because everybody said to Randall Cobb, it's like, dude, you look like you just got out of prison, which makes the organization look bad.
No doubt about that. The only thing I was thinking of with this Tunsil idea would just be that if they're getting a first round pick back, they're probably using it on another left tackle to just replace the guy they sent away. Of course, your point about does he want to be on the team, that still stands. And if they know that he's not going to re-sign, then yeah, ship him out. But
Absolutely. And mid-season deals just seem rare. I mean, before the season starts, I mean, we saw the Deshaun Watson deal. And I was kind of thinking to myself at first, I'm like, you know what? I give him another year, yada, yada, yada. Especially after what happened this year. And again, when I said at least give him one more year, people crucified me. But if you look at the fine line, before the massage parlor crapola going on, I just said, listen, I just want to make sure he's healthy. For me, it was the health and performance factor. That's all. I didn't think he was going to be the next, ironically, I'm going to say because he's on a team, Tyrod Taylor, but Tyrod Taylor with the Bills. That I think didn't work out, and everyone knows he went to the Browns, and everybody knows the history of that. But that to me is what I feared the most with the Texans. And sure enough, I am wrong. And that year, he proved that he's a top five quarterback in this draft. As far as will Tunsil be traded for a first round pick, and that's for an O lineman, I can't guarantee that because if you look at this year's draft, I think the offensive line was an absolute weakness and they did not go from there. And this was a lot of depth at the offensive line position. So, and there was a lot of teams that passed up on it, the Giants especially, and they just had three guys retire from their offensive line that ranked dead last in the NFL last year. That's scary. To me, I actually think that this team just made a deal with the Giants. And if Dave Gettleman was smart, unless he wants to be on a golf course instead of in the GM chair, I think this is a trade he has to make. You want to go to the playoffs? You want to beat the Cowboys? You want to beat Washington football team? Get an offensive lineman. And by the way, make sure that he's a decent tackle. Don't get some scrub guard and say convert. Because it just seems like that's what they're going to be doing for the next year. And that is what's going to bite him. His ass is on the line. The seat is red hot. And he may not make it to Thanksgiving.
Gettleman and Matt Nagy. Who gets the axe first? We will have to see on that one. But let's go back to the Texans for a minute. Let's look at their victory over the Packers. It feels weird saying that, but it is true. They won 26-7 this past week, and we saw some ups from some guys. Quarterback situation was Davis Mills got a lot of the work as he completed 11 of 22 passes for 112 yards with an interception. Tyrod Taylor was 4 of 4 for 40 yards, and I fully expect he's going to be under center week one when the Jaguars come to town. Jeff Driskel was 1 of 6 with 2 passing yards, and surprisingly enough, Driscoll had 5 carries for 16 yards, which was more than Philip Lindsay had. You gotta love preseason games and the weird stat lines you get out of them.
Yes, but indeed.
Had a couple rushing touchdowns as Scotty Phillips had 13 carries, 66 yards, and a touch. And Darius Jackson, 5 carries, 37 yards, and a touch. Ultimately, I think this bolsters Phillips' chances of making the roster, which, you know, are still a little bit iffy right now because you got Lindsay, you got Mark Ingram in the mix, and David Johnson. Phillips might be able to be that fourth guy, per se, still fighting it out with Rex Burkhead and Buddy Howell. Ultimately, I think one of them will not be on the roster after this weekend's game against the Cowboys. And it's tough to think who it might be. But I guess we'll find out. I think the stat line against the Dallas defense will show us a lot. You also look at the receivers. You had Chris Connolly grab 4 catches for 51 yards, which led the team. Phillips actually had 4 receptions as well for 23 yards. So, I mean, if Phillips is proving his worth as a receiver out of the backfield, I definitely think that bolsters his chances significantly to make the final 53.
All right. So in other news, I got a full report here from The Athletic still pulled up. It seems like mainly the Texans are running a cover 2 in practice. That's 2 deep safeties. And it looks like we got Desmond King as nickel corner, and Lonnie Johnson is going to be rotated in. I'm not sure how I feel about that. I think King should have a lot more time in, personally.
Yeah, I feel like King is a guy that you've got to get out there. And if you're going to put Johnson at strong safety over Murray, I'm all for it. Murray's a sunk cost at this point. Just
gotcha.
Let Johnson see the field. Just do it.
I agree. And since this is a rebuilding year, here's the thing. I think you got to take Desmond King, and I think you have to put him on the best wide receiver on that team or the guy who's getting hot, because that's how you want to win. If you're pulling the tank job, I get it. But if you want to play to win games, because if you're David Culley, you're trying to get the best because, you know, you're an old head coach. You want to win. That's what you got to do. And from what we've been hearing and what's been reported, Jack Easterby is at every practice. At times, sees David Culley give, Culley apparently gives Easterby directions from across the field to pass along to a position coach. Again, Easterby, I understand your role, but I think you got to back up a little bit. As you can imagine, Coach Culley is getting a lot of questions about Watson, and apparently he's taking it very well. And a lot of people are asking what's next about next season, because they look at this team and they say it's not great. But there are 36 Texans underneath contract for the following year. And Deshaun Watson, as well as 7 players, we're not sure will make the team, of course. There's also talk that John Reed may not make the team. He might be a cut.
Yeah, he's in a tough position battle here with the DBs. And like we talked about earlier, with the depth that you got, it's going to be hard for former fourth-round pick to break in. I also see Cornell Armstrong and Tremaine Smith. They're probably not going to make it. Tavier Thomas, also probably a long shot.
From what's being reported, it says guys that may not make it this year, Drake Jackson, Carson Green, Ryan McCollum, Hijolt, Froholt, John Reed, Scotty Phillips, and Cathal Warren. Now, Cathal Warren, again, I kind of pictured that because, and the fact that there's only one tight end listed is beyond me. That team has too many tight ends. Although Scotty Phillips, again, it's just sad because you got a lot of running backs underneath contract. You got David Johnson in there, and then the following year you bring in Ingram and Philip Lindsay. That's three guys right there. Do I think Scotty Phillips is talented? Yeah. But chances are when he's cut, he's going to bring his talents to somewhere else, and who knows, that might bite him. I could easily see a couple of teams that could use him just for depth.
Right. You don't know if maybe a trade could be in order. Texans try to send one of the guys above him away, or they try to deal Phillips for a low round pick to a team that might be interested.
I could just see that working well just because the talent is there. I just think he needs a line and the opportunity. But we shall see how these systems go. But I could see a sixth or seventh round pick, but still good because even though it may not be a very high regard, if the scouting team was worth a damn, this team needs as many picks as they could get.
Right. And honestly, if it were me, I'd try to put flyers out for Johnson and just basically let Phillips take his spot. I mean, Johnson would fetch you more than I'm sure. And you look at Johnson as getting a little up there in age. He may not be over the hill yet, but he doesn't have long before he hits the running back wall. Because we all know that running backs around 30, it's generally not a good thing. Johnson is currently 29. He will turn 30 this December.
Here's one I also got for you. One question that David Culley was asked. He was asked how he was going to determine on whether to go for it or not on fourth down. And his response is he'll go with his gut, even though he knows analytics could provide him with more information. And that's one of those things you're either going to like it or you're going to hate it, for better or for worse. It's one of those things where, listen, even Bill Belichick and offenses that involve Peyton Manning, if it was fourth and one, there's a lot of times where they would just say, nope, I'm going to punt. But you got to appreciate, now I'm not sure if that's because he's too old school or not, but you got to appreciate to a point guts. But then there's a difference, and this is where the people hate guts, is when the balls and brain are intertwined. That's what you don't want. If your gut says go for it and you're observing the game and you're making the call is one thing. But when you ignore analytics and you just say yes or no, I don't know about that. I've been a little iffy with that report. What do you think?
Well, in one sense, Culley might be inclined to take a little more risk because not a lot is expected of the team this year. So there might be that angle to it. Like you've said, he's a more old-fashioned head coach, may not listen as much to analytics and what they have to say. And you don't know how much people in the organization are going to try and push this new school way of thinking. I've always wondered if Culley is just a bridge for the next head coach. That's totally a possibility. And, you know, he would make an easy fall guy if things just go absolutely down the toilet, which is also a possibility.
Yes. Now, there's a couple of guys that I think were qualified that were lined up very close to David Culley. I think he could be an easy fall guy just because if you want to base wide receivers, because he's known as being a wide receiver coach, there's only a handful that you could actually say, hey, you know what? There's only a handful of guys out of all these years that give him the credit deserved. And that includes guys like Steve Smith Sr. saying, this guy disregarded me and completely disrespected me, and now I want nothing to do with him. I got nothing good to say. We'll see what happens with David Culley. Can it be the bridge to a guy? He could be, but at the same time, with this ownership, I think it's one of those things where they'll like the guy, even though he's not the most qualified, and then they'll give it, you know, 2, 3, 4 years and go from there. I mean, if Culley goes throughout the whole contract and they just say, you know what, it's not working out, you're out the door, I could completely see that.
Yeah, it's possible. But obviously there's going to be a lot to still has to be determined before we go with that. But let's move on to our last subject of the day, and that's this new taunting rule. John Mara, the Giants owner, said that, oh, people don't want to see other players taunting other players. I don't know why I gave John Mara a Texas accent, but that's just the way it came out. So, well, I mean, I would agree with him to an extent. Like, I don't want to see, like, crude things on the field, but those are really rare. Like, you just see players getting enthusiastic. Like, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, signaling the first down thing, like, that's not a problem for me.
I was about to say, if you want to get very technical, because the thing is that we hate in the NFL, we remember the, you know, pass interference rule, and it ended up being like one for like 30 overturned or so, being like, hey, check to see if that's pass interference or not. Every time you add a judgment call, and also depends, especially, you know, there's never a, oh, first down when you go to the line and you point in the direction you're going for first down. Technically, in the rule book, if you want to be cut and dry, that is taunting. But there's not going to be one of those things in the rule book being like, oh, yeah, by the way, in page 300Z, section A, the first down signaling is not taunting. B, you know what I mean? It's just cut and dry, and this is always judgmental. When you put a hand in a guy's face, that'll be a penalty. I get that. And yes, there's going to be a lot of fines in this. And they actually said that certain taunting's going to be sentenced to ejection. Now, listen, the last couple of years, I'm not a Giants fan, but I could say very safely that around where I am in the Connecticut and New York area, that they think that John Mara needs to go somewhere else because he looks like a cranky old man that sits on a stoop all day watering the concrete sidewalk and screaming at kids to get off his lawn. That's literally what that guy looks like. And there's a lot of people that think that he's neglected this team and let it run all the hell. Just a couple years ago that they knew that this team wasn't making the playoffs and baseball was still going on in the regular season. That's bad when you're being compared to the New York Jets, a team you're sharing a stadium with. You don't want to be the Jets. You don't want to be a cursed franchise. That's why people hate John Mara. But going back to the taunting rule, this is going to be absolutely ridiculous. And there's going to be people not just fined an amount of money because guess what? They stay in the game. But the fact that you're going to be ejecting guys and possibly suspending guys for taunting, it's just going to be controversial. Could you imagine the big what ifs? I understand that of all the sports, football is the biggest what if. What if Dee Ford doesn't go off sides? And the Chiefs go to the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? The what ifs in the NFL games are the worst. We're going to end up going, what if this guy was in last year's rules and that taunting doesn't cause an ejection? The fact that we're going to beat ourselves up and smack our heads against the table over that rule, come on.
Yeah, if there is one solace to take, it's that usually when rule changes are instituted, they're called really heavily in preseason, and then they back off of them the regular season. I don't know if you saw the Colts and the Panthers game from this weekend. They flagged the Colts running back for that. I mean, please don't let that type of thing carry over. Please.
And also, but have you noticed something? Guess what's also going to happen with these controversial judgment rules? It's going to be Monday Night Football within 5 minutes to go. One guy can't control his emotions. He's hyped up. He's absolutely amped. And what's going to happen? A flag's going to get called, or he's going to get ejected. And guess what? No one's going to care about the score. Everyone's going to care about that controversial fugazi call for taunting. If you don't think that's going to happen in a primetime game where it's going to be Thursday, Sunday, or Monday night, I think you're nuts, because it seems to happen every single year at least once. I'm waiting for it. You're going to see something absolutely freaking stupid, and it's going to just ruin the game. Oh, we don't want to ruin the sportsmanship or the integrity. Ruin the integrity. Call a fair freaking game.
Yeah. This just continues the trend, I feel like, of the game just becoming more and more sterile every year.
Fugazi.
It didn't help that last year there weren't many fans at games, which took away the crowd element. Now you're trying to legislate players' emotions out of it. I'm just like, you know, these men are professional athletes. They have a ton of spirit just to get to the places that they're at. They have passion. You know, come on. Just like, it is head scratching at times.
I understand you don't want guys shouting in his face being like, hey, you bum, cover me. You can't guard me. You suck. I understand that. But the fact that a guy can't dance after a first down, come on.
I know. And also seems really inconsistent that recently they let group touchdown celebrations come back in after they took those out, but then this goes out now. It's like, where's your consistency in that?
So what's going to happen if they think that there's a touchdown? Like, if you think you're scored a touchdown, but he's ruled out of bounds, right? What's going to be the difference between a taunt and a touchdown dance? Also, guess what? Does not make sense, number one. And number two, such a judgment call. He thought he scored. Oh, he was obviously out. He celebrated, got in the guy's. He might, to me, I think he was taunting. I'm throwing the flag. Instead of being at the one, we're calling him back 10 yards. He's at the 11. First down. Great. And you want to know how hard it is to score at first and 11? It's harder than people think. When you're inside the 10-yard line, fine. When you're a yard out of the first yard line, it's incredibly difficult.
Right. So, I mean, fortunately, we have a few more preseason games to go. Hopefully, this kind of gets leveled out and we reach a level of enforcement that would be okay. I realize a lot of folks don't have much confidence in the NFL to do something smart, and I don't blame them for that. But sometimes you just gotta have hope. And this is one of those situations. Just gotta have hope that cooler heads prevail and, you know, some common sense is used.
The only thing that bothers me is hope is not a plan.
Well, we really can't do much about it anyway, so don't really think it applies much to us.
Again, there's so many propositions and so many things that could be thought out and so many theories that me and you both have that can be perfected to work, except they're just not going to give a damn and they think everything's perfect. Such life moves on.
Yes, indeed. So, any final thoughts?
I got nothing, and it's going to be very interesting to see. The one thing I'm most interested in seeing preseason, even if you win or if you get creamed, I take it with just a grain of salt.
Of course.
Particularly with the young guns. But I want to see the quarterback position for Houston more than anything. Just simply because I want to see who looks good or who looks comfortable. because if they look a little awkward or if there's something blatantly I don't like, I'm just going to have a little concern, and we'll probably talk about it here. Because, again, as much as I hate to say it, I just don't see Deshaun Watson on this team for a month from now. I just think that there's too much riding on this, and I think he'll be on the exempt list.
Yeah, I certainly agree with that, unfortunately. Well, that kind of leads into next week when we were going to give our predictions for quarterback depth chart. It looks like nothing is ultimately going to be determined between now and then with Deshaun. But nonetheless, we will be forced to offer our predictions for him and the rest of the quarterbacks. So definitely tune in for that.
Do I dare say it?
Go ahead.
And the pain.
Definitely. And don't forget to check us out on Twitter at Texans Talk Pod, where you'll have other polls and other content throughout the week that you can check out. But that about wraps it up for this episode. So on behalf of AJ Torres, I'm Josh McSwain. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.